Well, it's been a busy weekend for us. I was sharing with somebody this morning that, I might be the pastor. Well, I'm definitely the pastor of this church. But I love this church. And I hope you do too. It's been a fun weekend for us. Friday night, we had a home group at Todd and Suzanne Lambert's house. And it was just a great night of fellowship and fun and where we just got to hang out with one another and our kids got to swim and all. And it's just great being a part of a church family. And yesterday, we got to celebrate one of our faith pointers, high school graduation with a graduation party. And that was a blast, just kind of being there with them and remembering him from when he was maybe this tall and, you know, now he's this tall, and celebrating that. And then last night, we got to go to the Bats game, and we have this rule in our house that we leave at 8:30 because our kids need to go to bed, so wherever we are, we're working really hard to say 8:30, we're leaving, because you know what happens when you miss that window? It's bad. It's bad. And so we left before the end of the game, but the trend, what we saw at the early part of the game, held out for the rest of the game, right? Tate, they lost. Yeah, so sorry for the batch. But we enjoyed that time. And so I say that just to you as an encouragement, that I would encourage you to find places within the life of our church to just get connected, whether small groups or study groups or things that just are going to connect you with other faith pointers. Because I love our church, and it's just a wonderful time that we celebrate together. And this is a special day in the life of our church because at the end of our time of worship this morning, we're going to close it by praying for and laying hands on a group of folks from our church and friends of theirs who are going to Belize on Friday for a week-long mission trip where they will be doing some labor and they will also be sharing the love of Christ with their words and with their witness. And so we're going to pray for them at the end of our time. And so because of that, I thought this might be a great opportunity for us to spend a little bit of time talking about what it means to be in mission, or why are people missionaries, and what impact is that for you and for me, and you know, what does it mean to be in mission? You know, the Bible defines a missionary as one who is sent on a mission, especially a religious mission. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word missionary, a lot of different things come to mind. And when I look at my life, and you know, early on when I heard the word missionary, I had one set of assumptions. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then later, I have some different assumptions about what it means to be a missionary. And I actually have a pretty core assumption now that I'll share with you about being a missionary. But when you hear the word missionary, what comes to your mind? Maybe names like Mother Teresa. You know, Mother Teresa, she gave her life to serving the poor in Calcutta, lived a life of poverty and just witnessed to and sought to meet the physical and the psychological needs of the poor on the streets in Calcutta. Maybe you think of people like William Carey. He was what we call the father of the modern day mission movement. He was an English missionary who in the late 1700s and early 1800s went to India to serve the people there. He actually founded the Baptist Missionary Society and was instrumental in influencing missionaries to foreign mission fields, particularly India. There are people like Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China in the 1800s whose biographies have influenced countless missionaries to both hear and to respond to the call of God in their lives. There are people like Jim Elliot, who is most remembered for his dramatic death, along with Nate Saint and three other missionary men at the hands of the Auca Indians. His story is told in the book and documentary, Shadow of the Almighty. It's an amazing story. And while his and his friends' deaths were tragic, the response by their wives towards the men who killed them opened up their hearts to Jesus. Maybe you think of somebody like Eric Liddell, who is probably best known for the 1980s movie. Anybody know it? Chariots of Fire. that while he was an Olympic athlete, he was also a missionary to China. I wonder, when you thought of the word missionary, did you think of you? Did you think of you being a missionary? For some, you're like, no way. For others, it's like, well, that sounds kind of strange. You know, when I went to seminary, I remember when people asked me, so what do you want to do, George, when you graduate? I remember clearly saying over and over and over, you know, I'll do just about anything for God, but there's one thing, I do not want to be a missionary. Because see, I had this assumption that missionaries were all poor, that you had to go to places like way far away, sleep on the floor, eat nasty food, not get a shower every day, and just lots of other things. I had these preconceived notions. And then when I went to seminary and I met a whole bunch of people who are missionaries, my seminary roommate is actually a missionary with the Salvation Army now. It opened my eyes to what missions is really all about and what it means to be a missionary. As a follower of Christ, I'm a missionary. As a follower of Christ, you are all missionaries. See, I've come to realize that the word Christian and the word missionary can actually be used interchangeably. Because if we're a Christian, we're a missionary. Now, you could actually be a missionary and not be a Christian ministry. But if you're a Christian, we're a missionary. Check out what some of these famous people had to say about their work as in missions and what it means to be a missionary. Hudson Taylor wrote, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow him. See, Hudson Taylor realized that God specializes in taking our inadequacies and supercharging them and doing wonderful things with them. He also said the Great Commission, which is going into all the world and making disciples, we find it in places like Matthew 28, it's actually in all the Gospels. He says, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, it's a command to be obeyed. Henry Martin, a missionary to India and Persia, said, the spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. So the closer we get to Jesus, the more intense we see our role as being a missionary. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And then Ralph Winter, a missiologist is a person who studies missions and the global expansion of missions in the gospel, says, the Bible is not the basis of missions. Missions is the basis of the Bible. Missions is the basis of the Bible. And then last but not least, Oswald Smith says, the mission of the church is missions. The mission of the church is missions because we're missionaries as followers of Christ. That means we are supposed to serve Christ. Check out what Jesus says. Right before he ascends back to heaven to be with the Father, post-resurrection, getting ready to go back to heaven, he's teaching his disciples a truth that carries throughout history. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Let me give you the short understanding of that. Is that when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, actually comes up and takes in residence in your life. And when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in your life. And he says, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, chances are you've seen that verse before. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we're going to talk about that this morning in depth and break it down a little bit. But that's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission where Jesus says, you will go into the world and make disciples. One of my mentors in seminary often said this, a great commitment to the great commandment, the great commandment being you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will change the world. You and I, as missionaries, if we hold intention, a commitment, a great commitment to the great commandment of loving God with every part of who we are, mind, body, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbors ourselves, and going into the world will change the world. Well, let's see what that looks like. See, Jesus' audience would have understood that. I have a couple of visuals to help you see this. You can also find this in your bulletin notes, these pictures. And there's two different ways to represent this, where Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What Jesus is saying to the people is that you will be my witnesses right where you are first and foremost. In Jerusalem, your hometown, you are supposed to be my witnesses right there where you are. But it doesn't stay there because we're missionaries. We're also supposed to be missionaries in a broader circle, which is understood as Judea. So in our context, we might say, okay, we're supposed to be Christians both in our community and then maybe in our state. We're supposed to be missionaries in Samaria, which might be the nearby culture. Interestingly enough, when we actually really get into that, when Jesus tells his disciples they're supposed to go into Samaria, that's the place they don't really want to go because Jewish people didn't like Samaritans. And so he's saying, you got to go where maybe you don't like it very much either. Where not everybody agrees with you, where it's not easy to tell people about Jesus, but don't stop there. You actually have to go to the ends of the earth. In other words, the places Jesus isn't known. So we have our hometown, we have our culture, we have the nearby culture, and then we have cultures that are really foreign to us. What's another way to look at that? The next slide shows that we are supposed to be witnesses, telling people about Jesus in our home city, in our state, in our country, and to the ends of the earth. You see, here's the bottom line. If you don't go, if you and I, if we don't go, many in our world will not know. If we don't go, many in our world won't know. Now let that just like sink in just a little bit for you. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what do you understand about that relationship with Jesus? It means that you have new life when? Today and when? Forever, right? It means that when you step out of this existence, you step into the next existence, and that is an existence with Jesus forever and ever, and it is good. The Bible describes it as heaven. What if you don't have that? Then forever, you won't know Jesus. And your trajectory is not heaven. Now, we could dialogue about that ad nauseum, but here's the point. In his infinite wisdom and knowledge and sovereignty, God has chosen to use you and me as instruments of the gospel. As a matter of fact, we see very clearly throughout Scripture that he depends on us. He depends on us. If we don't go, many won't know. Let me put it this way. If we fail to witness for the gospel, we fail as followers of Jesus. We do. If we fail to witness to the gospel as followers of Jesus Christ, we fail. We're commanded to go into the world. Why? Why? What does that look like? If you follow along in your notes, first point under that one is that God's one mission is our commission or commission. God has one mission to seek and to save the lost being people who do not have a relationship with Jesus. I remember growing up seeing the bumper stickers. I actually did a message on it several months ago. Remember, if you're as old as me, you might remember seeing those little black and yellow bumper stickers that says, I found it. Maybe not. Jesus' mission is to seek and to save the lost. That means people who do not have a relationship with Jesus are lost. The people who have a relationship with Jesus are found. And his mission is to seek out those who are lost. And that is our mission as well. We are supposed to be little Christs in the world. That's what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is a little Christ. It is someone who's seeking to be just like Jesus. And so his mission is our mission. It's a co-mission where we are co-missionaries with Christ to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here's what it means. Every person on earth is either a missionary or a mission field. Every person on the planet earth is either a missionary because they know Jesus or the mission field because they don't know Jesus. And God, again, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen to partner with us. And what does that actually look like? Number two, going is our response to God's calling in our lives. Going into the world is our response to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. It flows out of this relationship that we have with him. Amazing passage in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 21. Check this out. The Apostle Paul writes this: God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Do you get that? God has given us this task of reconciling or restoring this relationship or making this connection between God and them. Reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's like the gospel in about 15 words. And God has chosen to use us as his ambassadors. That means we go into the world. Ambassadors don't just sit. Ambassadors go and proclaim the good news, to tell people about Jesus. It's what we do. It's what we who believe it do. That we share Christ with others. Number three, going is not an option, but an assumption. It's not an option that we tell people about Jesus with our words. It's not an option whether or not we proclaim Christ with our lives. It's an assumption. It's so intriguing. I love this passage from 1:8 and from other places that we see. Did you notice how he just says this? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Matthew 28:18, it just 29:19, Jesus just says, go and make disciples of all the nations. He doesn't tell us how. He doesn't say, okay, here's the four steps, and then boom, they got it. He doesn't say, okay, now you go here, and you go here, and you go here. He just says, go into your world. Here's what it really means. It means that as you are going, while you are going, since you are going, make disciples. It's a present active tense. It means that as we are going in the world, we make disciples of Jesus. Why? Sylvia, could you jump back? Because I want to look at the going is our response to God's calling, because this is important. Because if we really believe that people without Christ are lost, and if we really believe that the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if we really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, then we must witness here, there, and everywhere. We are compelled to witness as we're going, as we're leading our lives. So it's not just the people who go into places like Belize or Calcutta or India. That's a part of it. But it's as we go into our world. In other words, do the people that you go to school with, the people that you work with, the people that are in your social networks, the people that are in your clubs, the people that are in your neighborhoods, the people that you hang out with, do they know that you're a Christian? Now, some of you might go, well, of course they do. But you know what? When I was in business, and you asked the people around me, probably a whole host of them would say, well, I have no idea. There would actually be a whole bunch of people, too, that would say, oh, there's no way. But our calling as Christians is to be missionaries. That means that wherever we are, wherever we're going in our world, we're supposed to be sharing Christ. I say this often because I think it bears worth repeating, because I hear it all the time, that people say, well, you know what Francis of Assisi said? He said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Here's the point. He never said that. Because we share the gospel with our words. We have to tell people about Jesus. We can't just assume that they're going to get it by osmosis, by hanging out with us. We have to tell them. So let's just unpack real quick what that looks like. See, here's the point. God both empowers and equips and encourages us to be his witnesses. When we become followers of Christ, he gives us what we need to do that. He empowers and equips and encourages us to be his witness in several different ways. We witness with our lips, in other words, with our mouths. We are called by God to tell people about Jesus. We sing his praise as we did amazingly this morning. Y'all sounded really good today. We declare his pardon, and we share his precepts. With our lips, it's real simple, too. It's we're like, hey, Debbie, do you go to church anywhere? Would you like to go with me next Sunday? It's not just saying, sitting down and having some in-depth, long theological conversation. Because, you know, people who are far from Christ actually know what they really want to know. Does God love me? That's what they really want to know. And how hard is it for us to look at people and say, you know what? Here's the one thing I have learned in church. God loves you. And I'm going to tell you about that. Because I'm going to tell you how much I know that God loves me. So we declare his goodness, his greatness, his grace with our lips. We also, God has empowered, equipped, and encouraged us to witness with our lives. With our lives. With our before Jesus story and our after Jesus story. If you are a follower of Christ, you have a before Jesus story that probably wasn't so great. And you should have an after Jesus story that it's getting better. See, God's story of grace shines greatly in the lives of his people. And so we witness to Christ. We tell people about Christ with our lives, with how we live, with who we were and who we are now, our before Jesus story and our after Jesus story. What difference has Jesus made in our lives? Because the reality is, if your after Jesus story is no different than your before Jesus story, you might not have Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that you had to be like this, like reprobate, but there should be something about your life that's different with Jesus than it was without Jesus. We also witness with our love, with our love. We've sang the song, we grew up, if you went to camp, and they will know we are Christians by our love. Now, here's the problem. The world's understanding of love and a biblical understanding of love are like way different. Like miles, like decades apart. So we have to understand what it means to love as God loves. But the simpleness of this is this, that what we love and what we hate reveal who we are. What we love and what we hate really reveal who we are. Do you love the things of God? Do you hate the things that are opposing to God? Do you love the things that draw people to Christ? Do you hate the things that repel people from Christ? Do you hate the temptations in life? Do you hate the difficult things in life that draw people away from Jesus? That means that our lives, then we do things in response to that. So God equips and encourages and empowers us to witness for him by how we love. Number four, we also witness for Christ by our loyalty. In other words, our priorities reveal our passions. Jesus said, where your treasure is, so where it already is, there are the desires of your heart. I just kind of worked that around a little bit, that just simply says that our priorities reveal what our passions are. What are we really passionate about? What do you really make time for? What is the priority in your life? Is your relationship with Jesus, is your relationship with his body, the church, is the focus of your life, is God like number one? Or is he like number 5, 6, 7, 10? A friend of mine who planted a church down in Texas said that George, you will have people in ministry that sign in with pencil, and you have people who will sign on with blood. You know the difference, right? That when we prioritize something with a pencil, what's really easy to do? Don't have time for that right now. Mark it out, put something else in. But if we do it with blood, that just doesn't come out, does it? So where's your loyalty? Where is that relationship with Jesus in your life? Is he number one? Or is he somewhere down the line? And last but not least, God empowers, equips, and encourages us to witness with our labor, with our work. Think about it this way. We witness in every way we can. In every way we can. Bible says that everything that we should do as an offering to God, acceptable to him. So everything that we do to the glory of God. So no matter what you do, if you stand on an assembly line and if you turn a bolt, or if you work in a bank and you're a teller and customers come up to you, or if you're an engineer or a computer programmer, or if you're the supervisor of a few or hundreds or thousands, your work, how you relate to people, is a witness either for Christ or against him. So we have the possibility, God equips and empowers us and encourages us to witness on every front possible for who he is. With our lips, in other words, with our words, with our lives, with our loves, with our loyalty, and with our labor. So what should we do? What should we do? If we are supposed to be witnesses to the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and if you're like, man, I have no idea how to do that, here's one way. Ask God to help you see what he sees. Ask God to help you see what he sees, to see the lost, to see the hurting, to see the people that you work with that you know are far from Christ because their lives kind of reveal it, to see your fellow students. Ask God to help you see the way he sees. Because see, when we see the way God sees, it will change our lives. I think we have become experts at just putting blinders on. It's like, I'm not going to look at it. I'm just not going to look. I'm not going to see it. Isn't that easy? We just avoid it. We're like we get in our cars and we got like those, I don't even know what they're called, blinders, whatever. Like they put on horses so they can't look to the left and the right, right? They put those little things. So it's like, I want you to go this way. We do that with our lives, don't we? That we like, man, we put these little things on. It's like, I'm only going to look this way because I got to get from here to here, and I don't want to see the world as Jesus sees it, because if I see the world as Jesus sees it, maybe Jesus is going to say, hey, yo, you do something about that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is a place where I'm really growing. I'm really asking God, just help me to see better the way that you see. Because, man, I'm going from here to there, shortest distance between two points I'm going. I got my list. I got stuff that I need to do. Man, it's really easy for me to not even relate to people sometimes, but just to go. But when I begin to see people, if you begin to see people the way Jesus sees them, it is going to change your life. As I said a few minutes ago, did you notice? In Acts 1:8, Jesus doesn't tell his disciples how to go. He doesn't give them the 3 points in a poem. He doesn't give them the 6 easy steps, and then you get to put their hand in their hand, and you put your hands in the Bible, and you pray, and it's all good. He just doesn't do that, right? He just simply says, go. Just go. Just go. Go. If you don't go, who won't know? If you don't go, if you don't go into your workplaces, if you don't go into your family, if you don't go into your neighborhoods, if you don't go into the prisons, if you don't go to Belize, if you don't go, and again, you don't, one person go to all those places, but as you're going, if you're not going into the world and saying, Jesus, help me to see the way you see, if you're not witnessing to him, then the reality of this is that if we fail to witness to the gospel, we fail as followers of Christ. I remember when I was in seminary, man, I was convicted because I saw all these people who I'm like, well, you're like super Christian. Like, man, I am so far from that. And I can't tell you how many people that I talked to, they're like, they would just simply say, you know what it is, George? I just try to see people the way God sees them. Just see people the way God sees them. It wasn't my own. I did not invent that. I picked up on that from other people around me, that if we see people the way that God sees them, then it's going to change. And that's going to do a pretty tremendous thing. So what's the takeaway for you today? What's the takeaway? Maybe for some in here, it's just simply, I got to see people the way God sees them. For others, it might be, wow, maybe I just need to step it up, and maybe I just need to become a little bit more transparent about my faith, that I'm not the undercover Christian. That I'm just like, I'm wearing my faith just a little bit bolder and a little bit more out there. Maybe I need to find one of those places like my lips or my loves or my loyalty or my labor and say, well, how do I begin to infuse my relationship with Jesus into that? I hope that what you will do is to look at just one of those and say, well, that's a focus for me. Because sometimes we look and go, you know what, to do all those things, those 5 things, my lips, my life, my love, my loyalty, man, that's just too hard. It is. So we do it step by step. We just take one step at a time. So ask God to help you see the way he sees. And then take a step to share the gospel. It'll change lives. It'll change our world. It's both a commission and it's a command. And it's what we do out of our response to the relationship that we have with Jesus. And it's not an option, but it's an assumption. Let's pray.